Jet Nation Radio. And here are your hosts, Tom Shane, Angelo Berkowitz, and Brandon Dowling.
And the home of the Jets!
And thank you for tuning in to another edition of Jet Nation Radio. I am your host, Brandon Dowling, alongside with Angelo Berkowitz tonight as we have a great show for you this evening. Lots to talk about. Mini camp underway. I had an eventful weekend catching up with the starting quarterback of the New York Jets, Geno Smith, as he had a fundraising camp out in Scotch Plains, New Jersey, a pro football camp for kids sponsored by Taco Bell. It was a great, great event. I got to go out there thanks to the great people over here at Jet Nation. We went out and talked to Geno and caught up with him for a few minutes along with a little group interview. We will have the audio for you in a little bit. Before we dive into it, I would like to, of course, say hello to my friend Angelo Berkowitz. Angelo, how are you?
Hello, Brandon.
How's everything?
My friend. I'm good.
So are you saying I use the word my friend loosely?
I think you're using it a little loosely, Brandon.
Well, Angelo, I caught up, it was a great experience for me. I've actually, back when I was in high school, I did something with my show that I was on that I hosted with two other students there, and we went over to the Pawtucket Red Sox game, and we got field passes, everything like that. It just so happened, we kind of got lucky. We planned it 6 months in advance, and down there doing rehab stint was Mike Cameron, Daniel Nava, and David Ortiz. So I got lucky that we got to see, three professional athletes, big name people who you could go and interview and stuff like that. Other than that, I've never done a face-to-face interview with any Jets players or any type of players on teams that I, root for as a fan alongside with an analyst. So that was something for me that was both extremely, extremely awesome and very, very scary. It was great. I mean, I get there, and, the PR staff over there, big thank you to PJ Brovic and his staff. They couldn't have treated us any better. We were treated very well over there. And, we go onto the field, and the way it was set up was, Geno was in the middle of the field, throwing fade passes to the kids and hanging out and, going through Jill's. And Geno was going to do a group interview along with a one-on-one with us over here at Jet Nation. So I'm standing in the end zone. I got my black dress pants on and my shoes. I took my Sunday best clothes out because you're going to meet Geno Smith. And I'm standing in the end zone, and I'm talking to the PR guy, and all of a sudden he goes, okay, Geno's coming over here in about a minute or so. Angelo, I look over, and when you see the starting quarterback of the Jets walking in your direction, I think I couldn't move. I think my feet froze as I watched Geno Smith walking towards me. And that's honest. That's an honest answer. Go ahead, Angelo.
Did you get a thrill up your leg like Chris Matthews when Obama's speech back in 2008, I guess it was?
You know what, Angelo?
You couldn't move.
I was frozen because you never really get that thrill of, you look up to these guys, whether we want to, whether we want to admit it or not, we look up to these pro athletes, whether you're 20 years old or whether you're 60 years old, you look up to these guys. These are public figures, and in the nature of this game, you have to kind of get used to it. So he did the group interview and was awesome. I mean, I got in one question. Brian Costello was there from the Post.
Wow, you were playing with the big boys, huh?
Jane McManus was there from ESPN New York and ESPNW. It was something to see. It was definitely something to see. I eased up after the group interview and the one-on-one. I mean, Geno Smith could not have been a better host alongside with the PR firm for this event. He was absolutely, gracious, shook my hand, asked me how I was doing, gave me all the time that I wanted with him. It was a tremendous, tremendous experience, and I can't thank the guys over at PJ Brovic's camp, along with Taco Bell, and of course Geno Smith and the New York Jets. It was definitely a great experience. So, with Without further ado, Angelo, and then we will dive into some mini camp talk. We will dive into the Mike Goodson situation and what we make of that debacle. But before we start the show off here, take your calls and do everything along those lines, here is yours truly with Geno Smith in Scotch Plains, New Jersey at the Pro Football Camp sponsored by Taco Bell.
We're on Jet Nation Radio. We're talking with Geno Smith, who just wrapped up a tremendous camp here, giving back to the community with the camp. Geno, first thing I wanted to ask you, you finished last season very strong. The team had some great momentum at the end of the year. Finished 500, and for a rookie quarterback, that's a great accomplishment. How do you feel that you can build off the momentum from the end of last year and carry it right in and get it strong this year?
Well, I think we've already done that as far as building off momentum. Going into the off season, personally, I didn't take any time off. I jumped right into my off-season workouts and, came back bigger, stronger, and faster. And, ultimately, I'm trying to continue to get better every single day, no matter if it's that one small thing. This season has nothing to do with last season, really. The games that we won last season, they were good, but they were good for last season. We went 8-8. We didn't accomplish our goal, which is to get into the playoffs.
Right.
So we're not going to worry about what we did at any point last season. We're focusing on this year. It's a new year. We've got new players. We've got old players who are getting better, and we're just continuing to grow. I think we're at a young stage in our building process, but we've got high expectations, and it's about accomplishing our goals at the end of the day.
Being a quarterback for the Jets, kind of getting thrown right into the fire right after the draft, can be very tough, especially in the biggest media market in the world. You came right into a quarterback competition with Mark Sanchez last year. Tremendous by you to, be the starter for week one. How do you feel this year's quarterback competition is different than last year, if different at all?
The difference will be, obviously not competing with Mark. I have Michael Vick, who I'm competing with, and he's a guy who, I feel is very capable of being a starter in this league. He already on the practice field, he does some amazing things. And then, with myself, being that I played 16 games, in this offense, in the same offense, I have a tremendous amount of recall. And, it's about building on that. Like I said, I've gotten better over the course of last season, but, I really wanted to take it upon myself to get better throughout the offseason. And, I can already see signs of that. But ultimately, it comes down to production and wins. And, I'm ultimately trying to just help this team get wins and help every single guy get better as much as we can.
Last question, Geno. Last year, I know your expectations were to get into the playoffs. You are in year two now. You definitely progressed last year. We saw, everybody saw it on the field. What do you feel is, with all these new additions, is your expectations and your goals coming into this year?
Well, first of all, we got to, not worry about what's in the future, but take care of what we have here, which is, we got a three-day mini camp coming up. I expect us to be out there competing hard and getting better, and we want to try and chase that perfection every single time. And then, we got off, off a few weeks. Guys have got to continue to work out hard and, come into camp ready to go, because that's what, makes, I don't think championships are won during the season. I'm more about, it being won in the off season and the work that you put in. And we're getting better. Like I said, we're continuing to gel. The new guys that we have fit right in, Decker and Chris Johnson, all those guys are going to be tremendous weapons for us. But the guys that we have to continue to grow. And then, we'll be fine once the season comes.
Geno, thank you for your time, and best of luck this season.
Thank you. No problem.
And that was Geno Smith live on Saturday at the Pro Football Camp sponsored by Taco Bell for Kids. Angelo, your immediate reaction.
Anytime a guy talks about working in the off season, you got to like that. And he sounds like he really does want to improve. He doesn't rest on whatever results he's had so far. He just said all the right things, pretty much.
Yeah, I thought it was that way too. You definitely got the sense of, he likes to repeat. He basically gave those answers in the group as well. He doesn't want to say the wrong thing. He doesn't want to give people bulletin board material, and he just likes to talk about improving. But let's go to the phone lines, and thanks for waiting. Joshua from Florida wants to talk about Geno Smith and the running backs. Go ahead, Josh.
Hey, how y'all doing? I always listen to y'all's show. I've been calling last week and the week before then, but I think y'all have a perfect show.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Thanks.
Yeah.
We're working hard in the off season, so we're trying to get even better. We're not going to rest on our laurels. It
yeah,
starts from the top down. Top down, Joshua.
Top down.
That's right.
Well, my biggest pet peeve about Geno Smith, I wanted to say something, two things. One thing is on the Geno Smith topic. Everybody needs to realize he was a rookie coming in that shouldn't even start, and he was put in a bad situation. Now, what I heard, I only lived in Florida for, you know, a good year, but I know people that actually went to school with Geno Smith and all that other stuff. And the one thing that he did say in one of the interviews this year was he's an underdog. He sees the whole competition as an underdog. See, Geno Smith in high school, he didn't start right away. He worked for it. In college, he didn't start right away. He worked for it. Now, he's working for it. He's used to that. He has it in the mindset. Push back on those turnovers, I can actually see him becoming who we all want. Us as a Jets fan, we deserve this moment. Him, I believe he will give it to us. Nothing wrong with Michael Vick. I think Michael Vick is going to push him. If Geno Smith really wanted this job, the way he feels and, you know, always practicing, like I heard a lot of good things about him. He always trying to study, try to perfect stuff like that. But that's about the Geno Smith. Now, another thing I want to talk about was the running backs. But I'll let you before I get to that, I want to hear what y'all want.
Yeah, absolutely, Josh. You talk as much as you want, buddy. One thing that I definitely like, first of all, you got me a little pumped up. You almost made me want to go grab my pads and my helmet that I have for game day since I run around like a maniac and throw those on. And you got me a little excited there. There's thing number one. I agree with you. I think Geno Smith, you know, from the sense that I got in speaking to him, you know, you can definitely see a motivated player who wants to thrive to be the best. That's an intangible that you cannot teach. When you thrive to be the best and you work to be the best, you usually are the best. I think that is one of the big things I like about Geno Smith. You know, the things you touched on was great. I think you're right in those in the sense. And in terms of Michael Vick, well, we know how I feel about that subject, don't we, Angelo? And I think that Geno Smith definitely has that underdog role. I think everybody is kind of shying away from him this year because of the poor plays that he made last year. And people, when it comes to the Jets, Joshua, it seems like the mainstream media is not going to, you know, give the Jets players credit in terms of good plays, but harp on the bad. But go ahead with your running backs point.
Okay, the running backs. I could see us have a force to be reckoned with coming into this season. The reason why is because you remember when we actually had Goodson back? Do you remember what package we used? I wasn't familiar with the package, but I remember.
Goodson, I actually went and made a sausage sandwich when Goodson was on the field, and when I was putting the ketchup and the relish on, he got hurt, so I didn't really see what happened.
But hear me out real quick. When Goodson actually got on the field, I see a play that I could see us abuse this year. I saw Goodson, I believe, on the right side. I saw Powell in the back of Geno, and I saw Chris Ivory on the left side. And they made it like a option play.
Like we're the Ducks, right? They're gonna become the New York Ducks is what we can call the Jets this year. We'll go with the wing bone and the wish tape.
Yeah. The reason why I just thought it was kind of funny. We had I had a conversation about that last week, and I just think about that would be something perfect that we could use this year, especially with all the weapons and talent that we have. We don't need Geno Smith to actually win games. We just need him to actually not do turnovers.
You know what, Josh? You're right. But if there comes a point in time when you have to look at an offense and look at a team and say, and stop saying your quarterback just doesn't have to turn it over. Your quarterback just doesn't have to do this. Your quarterback just has to do this. Your quarterback has to throw 10-yard passes, manage the football game, and let your running game and defense win. I want you to think of a team, Josh, and this is not a knock on Geno Smith because he's in year two. I want you to think of a team that is a winner. Out of all the playoff teams last year, out of all the Super Bowl champions in the past five to 10 years, okay, what team have you looked at with a quarterback that has said, I just don't, he's not going to win us. We don't need him to win us games. We just need him to not be terrible. It doesn't, that's not how, you know, that's a great mindset, and the Jets would improve if you stopped turning the ball over clearly. But here's the thing. At some point in time, the Jets are going to need to be have a quarterback that we're going to say, he doesn't have to go win us the game. He's going to go win us the game. Because until they get a quarterback that with 2 minutes left in the football game, you hand him that football and he can drive 60 yards and get a touchdown to win the game, you're not going anywhere. You're not. Sorry. You can't line up with the winning team. I got you. That's right. But you can't, you know, the trickery and the running backs, that's all fine and dandy. But we live in a quarterback-driven league. You will live and die with your quarterback in the National Football League. If you're going to live with a quarterback that has to be good enough to not throw it to the other team, you got a problem.
Yes, I totally agree with you there.
I totally agree, Brandon, especially with next year's schedule and the fact that our secondary, I mean, if everything goes according to plan, our secondary is going to be very young. Because, first of all, you can't rely on Demetri Patterson to stay healthy. And you might have to start Dexter Gould. It's possible. But Antonio Allen and Calvin Pryor are the ideal guys that we're trying to – we can see it in OTAs already. Those guys are getting a lot of reps together. So you're going to have Antonio Allen with his 1 year of starting experience, Calvin Pryor with zero, Milliner, who's got 1 year of experience, and we are playing the Packers, the Bears, the Lions, twice against the Patriots. We're playing Andrew Luck and the Colts, the Eagles with Nick Foles. We're playing some high-powered offenses. So, and we're also playing the Broncos.
And New England twice a year.
Yes, I mentioned New England. We cannot rely on running the ball, you know, 30, 40 times. We're going to have to pass the ball at some point, and hopefully Geno can handle the load. And from what I understand so far, Geno is night and day from where he was last year.
Absolutely. He mentioned that as well. He actually did. Josh, anything to add before we let you go, buddy?
Yes, one more thing. I agree
go
with
for
you
it.
Fully, and it was. I just want to touch up on the running back, but
go ahead.
You are completely right, and I believe we done mixed up. I mean, me personally, I like to run the ball, but I think you need to mix it up a little bit. You know,
no, you're right, Josh. Marty Morningweg is going to have to earn his money this year. I don't know what he's getting paid, but he's going to have to earn every cent.
All right, have a blessed day, and I love the show. J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
That's right, Josh, and thanks for the call, buddy. We appreciate it. We look to hear from you next week. That was Josh from Florida. Fireman Josh. We need a new fireman somewhere. Oh, it's unbelievable. Now, Angelo, one thing I did like that he, you know,
hold
that
on,
he Randy, mentioned.
Maybe an ambulance driver might be more appropriate with the bang-ups we got on we've got guys with such injury history. It might be an ambulance driver. Maybe ambulance driver Ed can make an appearance. Anyway, go ahead.
you got some sick jokes, Angelo. You like to drive to get really on the deeper side of the comedy, don't you?
Yeah. I have no filter.
We know. So one thing that I was that I wanted to touch on, and you know, I thought it was a great call from Josh, is, you know, he mentioned the fact of, you know, Geno Smith and not turning the ball over. I mean, we'll jump to minicamp in a second, but it's just something that I really hope that we can grow past. We lived in a time period, Angelo, back when dinosaurs roamed the earth, that Mark Sanchez and the Jets were playing in an AFC championship game in back-to-back seasons. And it got everybody pumped up because we sat there as Jet fans and said, wow, our defense is great. Our running game is fantastic. If our quarterback just doesn't suck, we might have a chance to go to Super Bowl. Am I right?
Yes.
That was our Mark Sanchez, he can roll out and he could throw 15-yard passes to Braylon Edwards and Jericho Cotri. This is great. All you have to do is not throw it to the guys wearing different jerseys and we're Super Bowl bound. That's all fine and dandy, and we put it in the and that's the second time I've used that tonight. I don't know why. we need to understand as NFL fans that was a very, very good run that they had for those 2 years, but it's unrealistic. We live in a time period now in the NFL, it's the second time I used that as well, that the Jets and these teams in the NFL, you are going to win and lose based off of your quarterback. If you play with a quarterback who is playing not to lose, you're not going anywhere. You're not going to beat the top. The top dogs in this league have top quarterbacks. It's very, very simple. Russell Wilson, the reason why Seattle didn't go to the Super Bowl in his first year there is because they played with the not-to-lose attitude with their quarterback. He didn't go out there and sling the ball around. He relied on Marshawn Lynch. He relied on that defense. This year, he's running the ball for touchdowns. He's throwing bombs to Golden Tate in the NFC Championship game. He went out there, and he took his team to the Super Bowl along with his great defense. If Geno Smith can mirror what Russell Wilson did in his transition, the Jets could be a very, very good football team. They have the intangibles to have a good defense. They have the intangibles and the weapons on offense to have a good offense. It all comes down to the quarterback. That's what it comes down to. You can look at, the secondary is young. I get it. Yes. Okay? The running backs, you don't know who's going to stand out. That might be one of the best part of the team, but who's going to be the standout running back? The wide receivers. Well, we have Eric Decker, and then who's up next? Linebackers. David Harris is getting old. Who's gonna step in from him? Is DeMario Davis the guy? Those are all concerns, and those are all needs, but none of them matter unless your quarterback is playing on the top of his game. You want examples? Go look at Denver. Go look at New England. Go look at the Packers. New England has needs in the secondary. New England has needs on their defensive line. They have needs at wide receiver. They have needs at running back. They have needs all over the place. But do you know why they still win? Because they're dominant in the quarterback position. Go ahead, Angelo.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're not going to expect to. We don't even need Geno to be an all-timer like the Patriots. I mean, and you're talking about Russell Wilson. He was 22nd in the league in attempts. So you can win with defense, but yeah, you cannot go over. That's what one thing you cannot do. You cannot have your quarterback lose you games. I do think you can win with defense, and I do think you can win with a running game. But you've also got to play that you've got to have a good secondary. And right now, that's a question mark. Especially and again, that's schedule next year. We don't know how many times Geno's going to have to throw the ball, and he may have to go out and win games. And I think this is going to be a trial by fire for Geno. This is going to be his second year where he's going to be under the gun. Last year was because he wasn't familiar with playing in a pro set offense. He was always playing out of the shotgun. He's in a new system. He's a rookie quarterback in a new league. And this year, now he's got all of the fundamentals down. He's got the playbook. He's got the year of experience. And now he's going to have to hold the burden, I believe.
Right. I understand what you're saying, Angelo, but here's the reality of it. And I I'm not disagreeing with you that you can win with defense. Of course, you're going to have a good defense to win. But the difference around a defensive team and a running team is going to be what you see from your quarterback in the big stages. Geno Smith, we have to stop with it's bad when your quarterback is losing your game. Well, of course it's bad when your quarterback's losing games. But in order to be a successful team in this league, your quarterback has to play for you to win, clearly. Now let's look at the playoffs in the Super Bowl last year. I mean, for Russell Wilson. Against the 49ers, you know, he had a 51-yard touchdown pass and 104.6 QB rating, was 16-25. That's playing for you to win. That's managing, I mean, that's making big plays. But you're also looking at it from the point of a 51-yard touchdown to win you the game. When Pete Carroll wanted to put the game in his quarterback's hands, his quarterback was able to come through for him. Pete Carroll is not going to make Russell Wilson go out there and throw the ball 40, 50 times a game because that's not his style. But when he relies on Russell Wilson to make that play, to take his team to the next level, he did it. If we're going to Geno Smith in the AFC Championship game, you need him to be the guy that's going to make the play, not the guy that has to play to avoid a bad play from happening. Go ahead, Andy.
Right. No, you're right. I mean, I'm just talking about just the journey. I'm not even going to worry about the playoffs. I'm just talking about the season itself. And Russell Wilson, he threw for 200 yards a game. But the key stat was he turned the ball over 9 times.
Yeah.
Well, he 9 interceptions. I don't know how many times he fumbled, but still 9 interceptions. If we could get that out of Geno Smith, that'd be a huge bunch. Of course.
Your team would be golden. The Jets would be golden if you could get that number out of Geno Smith. But Russell Wilson has confidence from his fan base, has confidence from his team. The Jets need, and the Jets fans need to build confidence around Geno. And what's that? That's going to come with winning football games and becoming the man of the team. That's what he needs to do. He needs to become the leader. He needs to become the guy, and he needs to play to win, not play not to lose. We'll be back after this. You're listening to Jet Nation Radio.
Are you a business trying to get the word out about your goods? Or an organization seeking to make the world a better place? Or a band promoting a new tour or debut EP? How do you keep up with the ever-evolving world of social media? Craft your message and make sure it gets to the right people. The answer is the Strategic Peacock. The Strategic Peacock takes pride in helping organizations create and implement online strategies that appropriately target the right audience with the right information using the right media. From mobile to multimedia, the Strategic Peacock will enhance your online presence. Visit strategicpeacock.com to develop the right web strategies for success.
Hi, I'm Allie, and I'm here to talk about a serious problem. Your children are listening to bad music. They go home, turn on the radio, and get down with their bad selves. You think it's harmless. You think it's just them being a teenager. You're wrong. Nothing is as harmful or addictive as bad music. Soon your kids will start thinking bad music is good, and the world will be filled with only bad music. So talk to your children about the dangers of bad music and tell them about the cure, Indie Outbreak. Indie Outbreak features a huge selection of great indie artists fighting against the bad music plague. Good music to save their minds. Join with us at IndieOutbreak.com, and together we can help stop the spread of bad music.
New music.
Are you an independent artist? Do you struggle with getting your music out there without burning a hole in your pocket? The Indie Outbreak is the perfect radio show for you. Broadcasted around the world, heard by thousands of incredible fans, always on demand. You can be too. Interested in being part of the outbreak? Go to IndieOutbreak.com and click the Submit tab for details. Be part of the epidemic sweeping over the world. Indie Outbreak. IndieOutbreak.com.
Amazing.
Jet Nation Radio, and here are your hosts, Tom Shane, Angelo Berkowitz, and Brandon Dowling.
And the home of the Jets!
And we are back here off the break to our listeners to Jet Nation Radio. And Angelo, one thing I wanted to dive right into, the big news out of the NFL this week is obviously the cornerback Brandon Flowers getting released from the Chiefs. And this, in my opinion, is an absolute no-brainer for the Jets.
I knew you were going to say that.
How he is not signed, how he's not going to eat at Roots with Rex having a steak in Summit, and we're not getting pictures and we're not all getting pumped up on Twitter is beyond me. And it's very disappointing, and I'm disappointed in the general manager right now that this is not done. I can't even speak. I'm so disappointed. Here is the train of thought that I have here, Angelo, and then you are more than welcome, obviously, to either agree, disagree, or just sit in awe of what I'm about to say. The New York Jets cornerback situation right now is a disaster. Whether we want to agree with that or not, this is a team that Rex Ryan thrives on one-on-one press coverage. Bring the house, bring the blitz, here we come. Let those guys take care of the outside receivers. We cover with the safeties through the middle, and we, you know, see what happens. The Jets right now are going to rely on Dexter McDougal, okay? D. Milliner, who all we're going off of is we're hoping and praying that he came off with, you know, at the end of last year, and he's going to just move right in and continue being successful. And Dimitri Patterson, who doesn't stay healthy. So Kansas City, who needs to save money, who needed to save, you know, cap room, obviously, goes out and releases a corner who's in the prime of his career, was a Pro Bowler last year, who the Jets could get for probably minimal money. It's a no-brainer for them to go out and bring this guy in. It would be an immediate upgrade to any corner they have on this team right now, and it would immediately spark that defense back up with some good secondary half. We have Lewis on the line who wants to talk about Brandon Flowers. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Great show. Just want to say, what do you guys think about should the Jets go after Brandon Flowers, considering that there's still a big question mark at the cornerback position, whether or not, you know, Milliner is going to step up, or if he doesn't step up, and let's say Patterson just doesn't cut it. Do you think it's worth the Jets exploring, maybe getting him as possible insurance since they have all this cap room to spend?
Lewis, where are you from?
Oh, I'm from Queens, New York. Actually, just got a tweet from you guys. I'm LTJ81 on Twitter.
Nice. And what is your favorite steakhouse in Queens?
Ooh, it's a tough one. I'm going to have to go with this soccer kind of spot. It's called Boca Juniors. It's an Argentinian steakhouse.
I think that Rex and Brandon Flowers should be sitting in that steakhouse right now, sharing a prime rib, signing the contract with a little A1 on the side, and having him in mini camp tomorrow. It's a no-brainer. It's the Jets right now missed out on Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. Say what you want, you know, even if you know there was no chance they were going to get him, you missed out on bringing Darrelle Revis back and completing the greatest trade and take back in the history of the game. You missed out on top corners. You missed out on Aqib Talib. You drafted a third-round cornerback. You got rid of Antonio Cromartie, who is playing for a sack of footballs out in Arizona right now. It's amazing to me how the Jets have let this position go down to D. Milliner, Patterson, and McDougal. And let's throw in Kyle Wilson, who everybody loves. You have the chance now. This is a gift that's been given to John Idzik. Here is a way for you to make up for your offseason mistakes of handling the secondary. A cornerback who's in the prime of his career, who was cut for salary cap issues. You have the money to spend. You have the need. Why is he not eating steak with Rex in Queens, Lewis?
Thank you very much. What was that? I'm sorry.
I said, why is he not eating steak with Rex in Queens?
I think because there are like 10 teams that are currently waiting to get a hold of him, that the Jets aren't making any moves, even though there was a rumor that I remember the Jets trying to go after him a couple of months ago during the season. They just never pulled the trigger, so he's going to go somewhere else, and hopefully it won't be an enemy that we face, because that might be a
come-fighter tactic. we see him on the field come Sundays. Angelo, what do you think?
I think they haven't signed him. First of all, even if Isaac wanted him, you know he's going to slow play it. But last year he was. They played a press coverage in Kansas City, and he wasn't good. He didn't fit in press coverage in Bob Sutton's scheme. The only time he ever played well one-on-one against players was in the slot. So I don't see him as being the best fit because he's more of a cover two cornerback. He's not really good at press coverage. This is not his strong suit. So that might be one of the reasons. Another thing, he was due to count $7.5 million against their cap this year. You know he's gonna want it.
And Angelo, let me ask you a question.
Expect $7.5 million.
Go ahead. Let me ask you a question, sir. Is Brandon Flowers an upgrade from D. Milliner? Yes.
He wouldn't be. Taking,
it's
he
yes
would
or
be,
no. Boom. There's no analyzing here.
He would it, not. In a press scheme, I can't
no,
say.
No, no,
who,
no, no, no.
Who can you? Who's not good last year?
Who is the better cornerback, D. Milliner or Brandon Flowers?
Are you talking about cover two cornerback? Or
I'm talking about a cornerback. I'm talking about a cornerback in the NFL. Who's the better corner?
Oy vey. Of course it's Brandon Flowers, but it's not.
Okay,
that's not
on,
the scheme we play.
Hold on a second.
Go ahead.
Hold on a second. Brandon Flowers, Dimitri Patterson. Who's a better cornerback?
You would have to say Brandon Flowers. He made the Pro Bowl last year. He's been good for his career. And
Dexter McDougal, Brandon Flowers.
Why are you asking questions you know the answer? So go ahead and answer for me, and that gets to your point.
Because the Jets have a chance to immediately get a number one corner they can add to the defense. Lewis, go ahead. You have a point.
I was going to say I completely agree with you. If you look at what we have now compared to what we could get if we actually went after Flowers, it's night and day. If in my own opinion, I would have signed Flowers the moment he was released.
Because
he's gonna be an upgrade. He's gonna be a mentor. I hate to say it. I love the Jets. I don't believe in Milliner this year. I think he's gonna have a slump, and he's gonna get better mid to end of the season. But in the beginning, it's gonna be a huge question mark. And then we're gonna be looking back and saying, should have got Flowers.
I would have to say one thing. The Jets had a chance to get Alteron Verner this year, who was a similar cornerback to Brandon Flowers in that he doesn't play press coverage very well, or he's not. He's better suited to play in a cover two scheme like
who
they played
plays, who plays good
in Tennessee.
Press coverage on their
listen.
Team now? Who plays good press coverage on their team right now? Who?
But listen to me.
Who?
They had a chance to get Verner, who for me is a better cornerback than Brandon Flowers.
Yeah, they screwed that
Flowers.
Up too.
Well, I don't know if they screwed it up. Verner signed for like, I don't know, what did he get? Like, I think he got like $6 million a year
from
Tampa Bay.
That hit the major market this year, Angelo. Every single corner.
They passed on Verner.
Of course they did. They passed on Verner. They passed on Revis. They passed on Rogers Cromartie. They passed on Cromartie. They probably passed on the Cromartie's cousin or in his second cousin. They passed on everybody in the secondary. And now you're sitting here, you're sitting here telling me that Brandon Flowers is not a good press corner. Who's a good press corner on their team right now? Who?
I'm just saying.
Who
they
is
passed
a good press corner
Verner.
On their team right now?
D. Milliner can play press cornerback, and Dexter McDougal.
Would you call him a good press cornerback?
And Dexter McDougal can play that scheme.
Yeah, that's awesome against the University of Buffalo. What's he going to do when Tom Brady?
It doesn't
Brady
matter. They drafted him in the third round.
That's great. That's awesome. But you have a chance to go get a guy who's going to step on the field and is an immediate impact player for your secondary. Who's when you have a chance to sign a guy this late into the offseason, okay, that is going to be better than every single corner you have on your team, it's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. He's going to step onto the field, and he's going to be the number one corner on this team. And guess what? I would take an average press cover from Brandon Flowers over any coverage from any other player on that team. Lewis, what do you think?
I completely agree. you can't put a price on a veteran. You can't put a price on someone that's immediately going to come in and contribute, because Milliner only did good towards the end of last season. Mind you, he played the Browns, who were horrible, played the Dolphins, who were even more horrible, and everybody dubbed him as, like, the next Revis. You can't put a price on that. And when you look at everything holistically, like, we have the money. It's not like we don't have the salary cap space. It's
right.
In my opinion, it's a no-brainer. I would have done it in a heartbeat, but it's going to be something where it's going to be stubborn. He's going to believe, saying that, hey, you know, I brought in McDougal. I want to show everybody that he's the next big guy. I don't like it.
No, it's again, the Jets right now need to go make this happen. They need to step up and make it happen. Every cornerback on this team right now scares me, because the Jets right now are one of those teams where if you don't sack the quarterback, you're going to be watching the quarterback with his hands in the air, signaling a touchdown, because they're so built in one, they're so one-dimensional right now in terms of their defense. Now, they might have, you know, McDougal and Patterson, with a great coaching job of Rex Ryan, might come out this year and be great corners. And D. Milliner might improve to be one of the top corners in this league. You don't know. But what you do know is Brandon Flowers today, June 17, 2014, is an upgrade from anybody in that secondary. And thank you for the call, Lewis. I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, guys. It was a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Angelo,
I know you love to keep it young on the roster, but you have to admit this is a no-brainer assignment for the Jets, don't you think?
I would say it's not a no-brainer at all. It's not, because how much of an upgrade is he going to be, and how much is it worth? How much would you pay him? I think they've got $21 million in salary cap money left this year. How much would you pay Brandon Flowers?
I would probably give him right around, I mean, he's going to be making some money from Kansas City. It was not guaranteed to him. It wasn't a Revis contract, so that's going to come into his asking price. I mean, he's probably about a $3 to $5 million a year type guy, and you wouldn't give that to him?
I can't say. I don't know. All I know is that.
Three years, $15 million.
I don't know whether I would sign
Monopoly
him or not.
Man.
All I'm saying
Monopoly
is that I'm looking at the numbers.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the overall methodology.
Did you look at Kansas City's defense last year?
They passed on somebody who was similar, like Burner, who actually is younger and better.
But that's
and
great.
And did not sign him when they had a chance.
Okay, so they passed on Werner early in the offseason. Do you think that was contingent on the fact that they were going to go try and get another cornerback? Did you think that was do you think right now John Idzik is sitting here going to himself, well, you know, I shouldn't have offered a one-year contract to Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. I shouldn't have not signed Antonio Cromartie back for that ridiculously cheap number that Arizona gave him. I should not have let Aqib Talib go so quickly when I knew that. And guess what? As much as Darrelle Revis scorned the organization, I should have maybe gave him a call and threw out some money if he was only looking for a one-year contract. You can't blow all of those opportunities to increase your secondary help with such a bad, bad secondary right now. It's a cornerback tandem that scares you, because you're used to watching Revis and Cromartie, and you're used to saying, well, that guy's out, and this guy's done. And even last year when you just had Cromartie, it was subpar, to say the least. Now you're talking about relying on a rookie, an injury-prone guy, and a cornerback who looked like he was becoming a decent player towards the end of the year last year. When now you can step back and say, okay, maybe I should have added these guys. Maybe I did make the mistake. But guess what? I can go out and get Flowers, who probably has two or three more years left in him, for a cheap number since he just came off a big contract, and I can get immediate secondary help. Why wouldn't I want that? How is that not a no-brainer to me? You would rather pass up on Flowers, who's going to require minimal money and be a great presence in the secondary? Or are you going to watch your fourth and fifth string cornerbacks go out there and Dexter McDougal and Dimitri Patterson over Brandon Flowers? Go ahead, Angelo.
This is the thing, Brandon. Are the Jets a win-now team?
It doesn't matter. That's a cop out. It doesn't. You're always a win now team. You're an 8-8 football team last year, my man. You better be coming in here this year thinking you want to improve. The only way to improve from 8-8, the next step is going to the playoffs. 9-7, 10-6 is wild card playoff bound. If you regress from last year, then you have a serious problem, and you're likely going to see people get fired. When you go from 8-8, you want to improve off your record of last year. The next step is the playoffs.
Brandon, they could actually be a better team this year and still finish with a worse record.
Angelo,
I know that blows your mind.
But again, of course. But again, why wouldn't you want to improve your team year to year? Why wouldn't you want to improve your team now? So you're telling me the Jets will benefit from letting these guys go out there and get their doors blown off by these top quarterbacks than being competitive with Brandon Flowers this year?
What are they going to do with McDougal then? Because they have high hopes for him. Are they going to let him sit for a whole year?
Of course you're not going to let him sit. You're going to work
him in. Cornerbacks
hold clipboards? You're going to let him watch a guy like Brandon Flowers. I mean, again, you want to watch the Jets. The Jets are going to want to put people in the seats, put smiles on the faces of their fans, and improve from last year. The only way to do that is to get to the playoffs. And in order to get to the playoffs this year, you're going to need to have some type of firepower. Clearly, you're a win-now team if you're going out and signing Eric Decker and Chris Johnson and adding those guys to your tandem and going to get a guy like Michael Vick to push your quarterback. Of course you are. You're always a win-now team. Nobody goes into the year saying, well, let's let our rookie cornerback go out there so Tom Brady can zing a couple TDs by him so he can learn for next year. It doesn't work that way. Go ahead, Glenn.
Hi, guys. How we doing?
Great. How are you?
Good, thanks. Just on the Brandon Flowers thing, I agree 100% with what you're saying, that the Jets need to make a push to get him. He is an immediate upgrade. Obviously, you want that veteran presence in the secondary who's 2 years removed from a Pro Bowl selection. And, as well as Milner played last year, it'd be great if he continues where he left off. I know someone earlier said he played well, and it was only against the Browns, but you also have to look at he's one-on-one with Josh Gordon all day. He batted a couple touchdown passes away and kept him under 100 yards, which is, was no easy chore last year for any corner. But I think what it's going to boil down to, what we've seen from Idzik, his M.O. is going to be, before they even talk to the guy, the Jets are going to have a number in mind, and they're going to say, here's what this guy's worth. If this is what he'll play for, this is what we'll pay him. So I think what's going to hurt the Jets is he's a hot commodity. You don't get corners of this caliber that come available this time of year. And, again, the reports are saying 7 teams, 10 teams. I think there's going to be a bidding war, and I think the Jets are going to come to the table and say, here's what we're willing to pay, and there's going to be a team that's willing to pay more. I know everyone says guys want to play for Rex, but, 99% of the time it's going to come down to the money. So, you're saying maybe $3 to $5 million, which is fair, but I honestly wouldn't be shocked if a team stepped in and offered $6 million. It's a passing league. If you don't have guys that can shut down the pass, you're not going to win. So it makes sense for the Jets to do it. They have the cap room to do it. I believe they will make an offer, but I think at the end of the day, somebody's going to outbid them for Flowers services.
Now, Glenn, but don't you think that enough is enough when it comes down to this part of the team? You have... In the past 3 years, we have watched the top cornerback on their team get traded by the general manager. We have watched Antonio Cromartie, the next best cornerback, be released and then signed for what is a very, very – it leaves a bad taste in your mouth how much – it's almost like he's playing for the veteran minimum over in Arizona. You offer – Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie a one-year contract, which he laughed at and then went and signed with the Giants. You didn't even entertain the idea of bringing back the best cornerback in football who wanted to hear from your organization because he did love playing for you. And then you Werner as well, like Angelo said, one of the top cornerbacks, they were immediately in the discussions and then fell right out. So you've lost out on probably 5 or 6 top corners, and you're sitting here with the question marks at every cornerback that you have. Is the rookie going to grow from last year? Is Dimitri Patterson going to stay healthy? And is the new rookie going to step in and be an impact player? The Jets need to say, how much is Brandon Flowers really worth to us? Well, we have no solid corners on this team. There's a big price tag. We have nobody that can cover the inside. There's a big price tag. We play teams that like to kill with the slot. There's a price tag. The Jets need to finally say, this offseason we were going to spend some money, and we did, but they need to be the team that throws the big number at Flowers. Otherwise, it's a failure on the GM. Go ahead, Glenn.
I don't necessarily disagree. I think the thing to me, from my opinion of it, is give him the big money if it's not a long-term deal. 2 years, $12 million, maybe $13 million, that I can live with. But if he's going to go out, he's still at an age where he could command a five-year deal. If he's looking for 5 years and $5, $6 million per, these are the contracts that teams get into. And let's face it, people have mentioned that he struggled in Sutton's defense last year. And I'm not going to pretend that I watched a bunch of Brandon Flowers footage. I don't know how well he played last year. But Kansas City, they're like any other team. They want to win. Andy Reid is a guy, he's been in the league a while. Sutton's been around for a while. So for Flowers to have regressed to the point of going from a starter to a nickel to riding the pine, it's like, how good could he have been? There is that part of you that says, well, that doesn't make sense. How do you go from Pro Bowl to the bench in one season? Like, there's got to be something there. The ability's got to be there. So, again, I'm not going to pretend to be an expert on the guy, but just that little bit of background makes me leery to say, do you give him a 3 or 4 or 5 year deal? I think 2 years, $7 million, 2 years, $6 million per, that I could live with. But if some team comes in and offers him, 4 or 5 million, 4 or 5 years, $26 million, That I wouldn't get involved with. You hear a lot about the corners the Jets missed out on, but to me, if you're not that interested in a player, you're not missing out. You're just not interested in the guy. Revis is interested in playing for the top bidder. Probably more so than any player we've ever seen in the league. I think before all is said and done, Darrell Revis is going to play for 9 or 10 teams, and that's just the way. And he'll be fine with that. He'll play on a 1 year rental every year, and that's fine. And I don't even put that on Idzik. I'm 100% convinced that Woody Johnson said we are not doing business with this guy again. The way he jerked us around, two holdouts, threatening for a third holdout in, 4 or 5 years, threatening for holdout number three, you just keep taking Woody Johnson's money. I have no doubt he told Idzik and Rex, I don't care how much you love the guy, he treated us like second-rate employers. We don't want him. And the Dominique Rogers-Cromartie thing, again, you hear a lot about his inconsistency, so that's why the Jets said, yes, we are interested, but we're not going to give you a long-term deal. You're an up-and-down guy.
Right.
Those are the types of guys. You give him a five-year deal, and then what happens?
But here's the problem, is that that's all great, and if you think that those guys aren't going to help your team, that's fine, and you want to pass on those guys, and you don't want to be a top bidder and overpay for those guys, that's great. But when your alternatives could be a disaster, when the Jets needed another cornerback and they had Darrell Revis and we were all talking about Nnamdi Asamoah and Antonio Cromartie, we sat here as Jet fans and said, well, guess what? We got the best cornerback in football. So, let's not overpay for another top second guy. It would be nice to have the two best corners in the league, but we have this guy to fall back on who's the best in the game. You don't have fallback. The pillow is gone. There is no safety net. It's a disaster. You have a rookie from last year. You have a second-year corner, like I said, who is a question mark. A rookie who is a clear question mark and a guy who can't stay healthy. If I was sitting here and you told me, well, they don't like these guys, they don't want to overpay for them, and you had Revis or Cromartie to fall back on, I would say no problem. But you can't be in a position to pass on guys when they're better than what you have on the field. That's the issue that I have. You need to, at some point, whether you feel like he is worth spending for or not, you have to evaluate what you have and go out and make it better. And the Jets didn't do that in the secondary this year. They didn't. They did it at the wide receiver position. They did it at the running back position. I even think they did it at the quarterback position. But they didn't go out and improve the cornerback position, and they left what they had, which is garbage right now. It's garbage. So you're going to tell me their garbage is not worth going out and spending for a guy they think might be good? Come on.
Well, that all remains to be seen. Of course, drafting a couple of corners, they're nothing but question marks at this point. We don't know how they're going to pan out. Some of these guys surprise, some of them bust. We know that. But so it's not like they didn't address the position. They took a third rounder, McDougal, who they signed today, and who knows what's going to come of that. Well, some of their backups looked decent at times last year, so I don't disagree with you, but I also I look at the positions the Jets have been in the past, and a lot of times they go out and they overpay for players. So I'm not going to complain about it one year and then the next year complain if they're not doing it. So I wouldn't
true,
be upset,
Glenn.
Honestly, if they did sign the guy. But at the same time, the way I think it's going to play out is there'll be one of the teams involved. They'll make an offer, but someone's going to blow them out of the water. But who knows? Because there was a report that the Jets were talking to the Chiefs pre-draft about making a deal for him. So we know there's a legitimate interest.
Here's your opportunity.
It was just the fact that, you know, what were the Chiefs asking? You know, did they want a second or third rounder for a guy that teams felt like, you know, he rode your bench last year and you're probably going to let him go? So you don't overpay there. You wait for free agency. So we know there's an interest. We know there's a need. We know they have the cap money. It's just going to be a matter of are they going to be willing to go over that number that they set before they start negotiating and outbid other teams.
Well, that remains to be seen. Thank you for the call, Glenn. I appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Take care. That was Glenn from the Air Force calling in about the Jets and Brandon Flowers. He makes a good point. We are now going to jump to Susan, who wants to talk to us about D. Milliner. Go ahead, Susan. You're on Jet Nation Radio. Thanks for holding.
Hey, it's Suzanne.
Hi, how are you?
And I'm great. How are you?
Good.
And I was just, you know, listening and thinking about having been at Geno's camp the other day and watching how, you know, he interacted with kids and whatnot. But when you think about it, we're talking about, oh, we need new corners. Yes, obviously we pass on Revis. It's always who's going to be in the best position at the right time. And I believe in Milliner. He was benched. He had to have his chance to kind of learn, but he still made plays. And when you're sitting there saying, okay, this is my roster. These are the guys who are going to play. If a guy can't play, you're going to sit him. If he can play and shows you he can play, then he's going to be on the roster. When you start scouting and looking for other people, then you're telling him, I don't necessarily believe in you. It may make him better. It may make him worse.
Right, but here's the problem with that, Susan. Suzanne, I apologize.
Yeah.
Is
it's
that you're in a place where you don't have that luxury. Where you can say, oh, I believe in D. Milliner. I believe in him. And you know, don't go out and chop for other guys. That's great, and, you know, that's a great way to boost his confidence. But you don't believe in D. Milliner. He hasn't deserved the right to be believed in yet. You don't believe in any corners that they have. So going out and getting a guy who could solidify the position and help you right away is going to help a guy like D. Milliner grow, because now he can say, okay, you know, I can take some time, get back into my rhythm and grow my skills, and I have a guy, you know, complimenting me who's one of the best in football, who's a Pro Bowler, that can help us win games. The cornerback position is much different than, you know, if you were talking about a quarterback and you were going out and shopping for a primetime starting quarterback, yes, then you're telling Geno Smith, we don't believe in you. Corners, you need three solid corners to survive in this league. You're going to need two outsides and an inside. The Jets don't have any right now that make you excited and make you think that they can stop any offenses. They need to add somebody that can go with these young players, go with the young people in the secondary, because that will boost their confidence more than not going out and getting somebody. Go ahead.
Well, it also depends upon what receiver they're going against and how the offense is. If they know there's no way that D is going to be able to cover the outside, then they're going to go to the outside. If they know he may be able to cover, then they're going to push everything to the inside. They're going to do a slant. So it always varies upon what team you're playing.
Right, but if you looked at, and Angelo made a great point before, you know, when he talked about the Jets' schedule, you're talking about you're going against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. You're going against Calvin Johnson and the Lions. You're traveling to San Diego. You're home against the Broncos. You play New England twice, okay? I mean, you're playing these top offenses this year. Top quarterbacks, you play Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady twice. You need to have solid corners in order to stop those offenses, or you're going to get torched. Or are we talking about four losses?
Well, you need a good line that's going to run in and
of course, that's the case. But you can't be – if you're one-dimensional, you're not going to win. If the only thing you can do on defense is sack the quarterback, guess what? I'm going to bring a fullback. I'm going to bring a running back. I'm going to bring extra protection for my quarterback and let my guys go one-on-one with your corners and torch you. that's what I'm going to do. Because there's nobody right now that Tom Brady is used to going against the guy that's on his team against the Jets, or Cromartie, going against guys that can make plays against him. It's remained to be seen from these guys whether they can make plays, and you have to go out and get a guy who can help that defense. It's just the way that they need – it's what they need to do.
No, I agree, but yet if you shut it down from the line, then he has to scramble. Now he's running around, and even if a guy like D sometimes blows coverage, if he's a little slow, he's going to get there. He's going to make the play, albeit – you know, you don't go to Revis' side or Cromartie's side. Even when Cromartie first, when they got rid of Revis at first, it was like, oh, Cromartie can't do it. And he did. So now it's Milliner's turn to turn around and say, hey, don't go to my side because I'll pick you.
Right, but Antonio Cromartie was a proven cornerback in this league when he came here. Antonio Cromartie was a top five, top 10 cornerback when he came to the Jets. We're talking about a rookie who were going off of four games last year who played well. Listen, I hope so. I hope D. Milliner improves and is one of the top cornerbacks in this league. Antonio Cromartie, you knew you were getting a ball-skilled corner who could make plays. Right now, there's nobody on the Jets that you can say with confidence can go out and make plays in the secondary. Go ahead, Angelo.
First of all, I find it hysterical that you have no confidence in D. Milliner, yet his career arc is pretty much the same as Geno Smith's. Not good for most of the year, great for the last month of the season. Milliner, yuck. Geno, fantastic.
Me and Geno are friends.
All-timer. Well, now you're friends, right now.
Now you're okay. Friends,
Brandon.
Okay.
Please don't talk about my friend like that, would you?
I'm not talking about your friend. I'm talking about your shaky logic. But
because
anyway,
Brandon Flowers is a better cornerback right now than Michael Vick is a quarterback. Come on.
Well,
sure,
I mean,
that's
pretty ridiculous to say.
Exactly.
No, it's not, because actually Brandon Flowers was the seventh-rated cornerback the year before. Last year he was number 87. His play dropped off when he played in that system where he was asked to play press coverage. That's what we will be asking him to do this year. What
was
makes you
Hawaii?
Think that going from 87 playing press coverage last year, he's going to be fantastic again this
was
year playing press coverage?
Was he doing the hula last year in Hawaii?
I don't – that is such an anomaly. These things are based on reputation. He was horrible last year. By all accounts, he was – last year. That's based on reputation.
He was a part of a team that went 14-2, Angelo. Stop it.
Oh, it doesn't matter about the team. Come on. Give me a break with the – he was a weak link on that team.
Yes.
Listen, the Jets are going to win on their terms. Idzik is not going to outbid 7, 8, 9, 10 other teams for the services of Brandon Flowers, especially for a guy who you don't know is going to be able to play in your system at a high level. That's the issue. He will not do that. He won't do it.
That wasn't fair. That wasn't fair.
Brandon, would you like
it's
to
all
grab
about
me
the
some...
system? Come on.
Brandon,
how many guys
like
have come
to...
into the Jets system
that Jets will not even take a sniff at Brandon Flowers?
You know what, Angelo? I think you just got a bad attitude. Suzanne, anything to add before we let you go?
No, the thing is that it's all about the coaching and the system and the players they're playing with. You could have one standout, oh, fantastic, but you have to look at how well do they play together. Once he gets in, he could play for this other team. Once he gets into the system, what is he going to do? Is he going to be the star?
Suzanne, he was not good in that system last year. In a similar system where he's asked to do a certain thing and he was not good at it.
Angelo, who is good on the Jets right now? Who is good? I want to know, who is a good cornerback that they have right now? I'm sorry, who is even a decent cornerback on the Jets right now? Who?
D!
Thank you,
who?
Suzanne.
So D. Milliner is better than Brandon Flowers.
Yeah.
Not saying that, but this is a knee-jerk reaction.
Goodness. I can't take it. I'm throwing in the towel. Suzanne, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. We would love to hear from you next week.
You're getting knee-jerky, Brandon.
Because I can't. But the nonsense just drives me crazy. You cannot compare a cornerback, okay, last year, and then we'll wrap things up here on Jet Nation Radio. You cannot compare a cornerback from last year who had a good month to a guy like Brandon Flowers, who last year, this is your difference between your Michael Vick thing that you thought over there, you know, while you were being quiet, but you were really just trying to think of a way to compare that to me and throw it in my face. And
I'm
that was
not
good.
Talking
that
about
was
Michael
clever.
Vick.
But hold on a second. So the difference is Brandon Flowers last year, whether you want to call him, you know, he had a tremendous drop-off. I get it. He was a Pro Bowl cornerback on a top defense last year. The Jets need help in the secondary. The best available corner right now, and the best cornerback on the Jets is not even signed yet, and that's Brandon Flowers. There's no debating that. If you can't tell me a guy, a Pro Bowl cornerback from last year on a top defense that went on a team that went 14-2 is not as good or not 10 times better than a cornerback who had a good month and was getting torched and on and off the bench last year as a rookie. You just can't do it.
Not all cornerbacks are made the same way. To compare cornerbacks to quarterbacks is not
I'm
even
not comparing
fair.
Cornerbacks to quarterbacks. I'm comparing Dee Milliner to Brandon Flowers. And based off of last year and based off of the last 2 years, okay, Dee Milliner wasn't even in the league. Coming into this year, a Pro Bowl proven cornerback is better than a question mark second year player. That's no comparison.
Brandon, it's got nothing to do with Dee Milliner and how good he is.
Of course it does. He's your best corner.
Why?
Because he's your
best
corner.
He's going to be on the opposite side anyway.
Of course.
So what does it matter what Dee Milliner does?
Okay, so then let's compare him to who else you have. McDougal and Patterson. Should we compare Brandon Flowers to those guys who last year were filling up Gatorade bottles?
Was he good at what he is going to be asked to be doing this year? Was he good at that last year?
Is he an upgrade to what you have right now? That's the question. The goal is to
That's
make your roster better.
That's the question. And how much of an upgrade is it worth? Is it worth spending
Of course it is. Okay, so you would rather watch guys go out there and get torched than watch Brandon Flowers compete and make your team better. That makes sense.
You just think you're just going to try guys out because they're good at a certain thing and that they've got a history
so what,
of being good.
So why don't you – so you can't move Flowers to the inside and try one of, and put Patterson or McDougal on the outside and have a guy who can dominate the inside?
Now we're talking about Brandon Flowers as a slot cornerback. How much are you going to pay for a nickel cornerback now?
How much – you don't have one. That's the problem.
Yeah. Kyle Wilson is fine.
Angelo, on that note, that
it's
Kyle Wilson is fine. I want to thank you for another great show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to Jet Nation Radio. Before I have a heart attack here on the air comparing Brandon Flowers to Dee Milliner, we will see you next week. Thank you for tuning in to Jet Nation Radio. And remember, you can hear us live every Tuesday at 8 o'clock Eastern Time right here on Jet Nation Radio.